We're going to continue and finish up on our series on position to receive tonight. So I told y'all were going to get tired of hearing this before I finished it. But I praise God. I believe God's got a message for us, and we've been preaching on this. I don't know about y'all, but he's trying to get it in my spirit. Amen. So how many of you know when we hear things over and over and over again, it's not to bore you or because we don't think you're getting it, but whatever God puts on my heart, I just bring it back. And so I just believe that God wants us to get this in our spirit at the first of the year so that we can be successful the rest of the year. Amen. So we're talking about the position to receive, and I'm not going to rehash everything. I'm going to do a quick update. Y'all okay with a quick update? Y'all going to let me do that real quick? All right, so position to receive. Talking about this year and the season that this year is bringing, and how God has given us so many things that we've yet to discover. And instead of spending the rest of the year looking for them, God wants us to know that He's already provided it, that He's already paid for it. The work of that Jesus Christ did on Calvary paid for everything that we need. Amen? Paid for it. It's bought and paid for. It's yours. And although FedEx may mess up from time to time and deliver something to the wrong place, we had some people come to the church a couple weeks ago looking for a baby stroller. They said, FedEx said they brought it to the church today. And we said, I'm sorry, nobody's been at the church today. FedEx got it messed up. But how many of y'all know, God never messes it up. God never messes up with the delivery. He's always on time, and He's always in the right place. We never have to worry about God getting His part done. Amen? So God's done His part. What we have to be concerned about, and what I've been on this series of, is making sure that we are in a position to receive. Amen? So how many of y'all believe? Let's just go ahead and settle right now. How many of y'all believe that God has already paid for what we need? God's already provided for and paid for our miracles. God's already provided for and paid for our breakthrough, our provision, our direction, our healing, our marriage relationships. God has already done the work. Do we agree on that? Can we agree? If you agree with that this tonight, I want you to say amen. All right, now I want you to say it like you mean it. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, y'all are almost as good as kids' church, I tell you. but anyway, so God's done His part. We just have to make sure we're in a position to receive, because this year is a season. It is a season like none other. Just to recap, a year of God's glory, a year of restoration, a year where nothing is withheld, a year of the supernatural, a year of going to the other side. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Does that excite anybody? Amen. And I'll just repeat what Brother Jerry has said. He said that our end goal is the kingdom of God, heaven. But our mission is to see the kingdom of God manifested on earth, here and now. Amen. How many of y'all want to see the kingdom of God manifested in your life? In your household, in your finances, in your church, and in your city. I tell you what, God wants to expand our vision. God wants us to create such an expectancy in our heart where it's not a surprise when God comes through. I tell you what, God wants to make it so commonplace for us to see His power demonstrated in our life that it's the abnormal thing when we have to wait. Amen? But praise God, God wants to increase our level of expectancy in Him. He wants us to be witnesses of His good works and His power manifested in our life. Amen? How many of y'all want to be witnesses? And so throughout this series, I've related it to a sports team, a football team advancing downfield, and how exciting it is when the team picks up big chunks of yards going downfield for the pass. How many of y'all want to advance in big chunks of yard in your life this year? Man, God wants to. God wants us to advance and take major yardage this year. And the quarterback, but two things to happen for that. The quarterback has to be on point, and the receiver has to be in the right position to receive. All right, y'all got that? All right, we're up to speed. Oh, well, and so then we're talking about being in a position to receive. Because we know God, as our quarterback, God is always on point. We've already talked about that. So the only other factor there is us being in the right place to receive. And so we've been talking about being in the right position to receive. And so the first thing we talked to you about, the first thing I brought to you, is that in order to be in a position to receive, for this to be your year, is that we have to believe it's our year. All right, y'all remember the scripture, John 11:40? If you would just believe, you would see the glory of God. And then John 14:12-13, it says that we would do the same works that Jesus did, and greater works will you do. So we have to believe. The next thing we talked about is that you have to be, the reason you have to believe is because a player that knows the ball is coming his way runs with much more intensity. And I tell you what, it's going to take running with intensity this year to get where God's taking you. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But it's going to take us running with intensity this year to get where God's taking us. Because God is enabling us this year. God is empowering us this year to make some major strides. And I tell you what, in every area of your life, in every area of your life, God's intention this year is for us to take major strides and to move up to the next level and everything. And to do that, okay, we have to believe. And the next thing we talked about is that we have to be committed. We have to be committed to the vision. We have to be committed to the vision. Vince Lombardi said, I'll read part of the quote I read. Every time a football player goes to play his trade, he's got to play from the ground up, from the soles of his feet right up to his head. Every inch of him has to play. Man, I tell you what, I never get tired of reading that. Every inch of him has to play. I don't know about y'all, but I have to remind myself of that quite often. Does anybody else, the same as me? You know, almost every day I have to remind myself, every inch of me has to be involved in this thing. Every inch of me has to be committed in this thing. Another way of saying that is we have to be all in. I've got to be all in every day, every minute of every day. I need to be all in because the enemy is out there like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. You know what? Because he can't just devour anybody. He's looking at who he may devour. And when you talk about may, how many of y'all ever had told your kids, can you do this? And they say, the thing about can I or may I? You know, I can, but you know. May says, denotes that we've been given him permission. That he has permission or that he has right to do something. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're playing, if you're committed, if you're all in, if every inch of you is playing, I'll tell you what, we can shut the door to the devil in every area. I'll tell you what, when the devil seeks to see who he may devour, I want him to look across me and say, I want him to look at me and say, I don't see an opening. I haven't had permission. You know what? That's where God wants to take us. Where then the devil comes about looking to see if he might take you down, that he won't find weakness. But that he'll see the blood of Jesus, and he'll see the Holy Spirit inside of you, and he'll know that he's up against something he can't overcome. Amen? So we have to be committed. Every inch of us has to play. We've got to be all in. We've got to permission. And the reason why is because opposition will come. We talked about that last time I preached. We talked about opposition will come. Opposition will come. But we also talked about that God knew about the opposition before he called you. God knew about the opposition before he chose you. God knew about the opposition before he told you, I am everything you need. And the opposition didn't change God's mind one bit. Amen? Isn't that encouraging that God saw? Yefet, God knew what he called you to, and he knew what the devil was going to bring against you and your family, and he didn't change his mind about it. He didn't change his mind about it. And although the enemy would love to change our mind about what God's called us to, he would love to deter us and make us think the mountain's too big. The trail is too hard to navigate. He wants you to focus on those things, and he will come to attack you, to discourage you. But how many of y'all know God wants us to be to a place where the opposition that we face does not change our mind about where God's taking us. Amen? Because the promises of God and the Word of God in your life has got to be stronger than those things that will try to sway you. But we have to be committed to the vision, or the opposition will sway us. The opposition will sidetrack us. But how many of y'all want to declare today, I'm going to be committed. I'm going to be committed. Now this is the right committed. This isn't the crazy house committed. I'm going to be committed. Anyway, I always threaten my mother-in-law that when she gets old enough, we're going to put her in. No, we're going to put her in. Just when she gets honoring. Not that kind of committed. But we got to be committed and steadfast. Everybody say steadfast. Steadfast in what God's called us to, so the opposition doesn't sidetrack us. You see, God knows how to deal with the opposition. Amen. God knows how to deal with the opposition. As long as our trust and our faith is in him, and as long as we're relying on the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and to go before us, then we don't have to worry about the opposition. We need to be aware of, but we don't have to worry about the opposition. I tell you what, because the Bible says that no weapon formed against you will prosper. And even every tongue that rises up against you will be shown to be in the wrong. That means no matter what the enemy brings against you, no matter what people even say about you, it'll be shown to be in the wrong. Amen? I tell you what, there's some awesome promises in Psalms 91 about opposition and about your place in Him, in the secret place, and what that means for a believer. I want everybody to say, I want to dwell in the secret place. How many of y'all want to dwell in the secret place tonight? Amen. I see some people fanning. Is it hot in here, y'all? We can turn some AC on, Roger, if you want to get some AC on. Anyway, so we've got to be, so we have to believe. We've got to be committed. We've got to be ready to face the opposition. And the thing, and the last thing I really want to talk about in this series tonight, and if we wrap up early, are y'all going to forgive me if we wrap up early? Okay. I want you to get your money's worth now. So, but anyway, for the last thing we're going to talk about tonight in this, and this is really the only other thing I felt like doing it along this lines in this message, and but I didn't get to it last time, so I definitely wanted to address it before moving on, and that is we have to have the desire. So we have to believe, we've got to be committed, we've got to be ready to face the opposition in the power of Christ and overcome the opposition, but we also have to have a desire for God to move and to God work. Now, it's easy to say, yeah, I want what God has for me. You know? But we gotta back that up with our actions. I had the privilege because I'm speaking about the privilege of coaching the girls basketball team a couple of years at Victory School. Now, I'm not a trained, educated coach, you know. I tried to get tips and stuff and learn as much as I could about strategies and about workouts and things like that. But Nicole and I, we co-coached. Okay? Now, she was Grace and I was the, what do you call it? I don't even know what to call it. I would get animated and I would get excited and I was competitive. That's what it was. What'd you say? Sweet? Oh, yeah. Well, I was that too, but I couldn't hear what she said. I assume she said sweet. No, I was the competitive one. I was the one that would get into it, and then Nicole was the one that would hug the girls when they came. It was younger girls. It was the junior girls team, and so but I would get all competitive, and I'd just get forceful, and then Nicole would have to hug them and console them after I got loud with them. But there were some of those girls, they wanted to play, and they were athletes, and they wanted the ball, and they wanted to be a part, and then there were some girls there that their mama made them play. You know, and they didn't have the desire. Now, they were there. They showed up. They were committed. They believed they were going to get to play because we didn't have a lot of players and everybody had to play. But anyway, so they believed they were going to get to play. They were committed. Man, they would come to practice. They would show up to all the games and stuff. And so, and they knew there was going to be opposition. That wasn't a surprise to them. But they didn't have the desire. They didn't have the desire. And I'm going to tell you what, that makes a big difference when you don't have the desire. So, tell you what, there was one case in particular that they were scrapping for a loose ball, and some of the girls that had the desire, man, they were going for the ball, and the ball rolled and bounced in front of a girl that was there that she believed she was going to play. She was committed, and but she didn't have the desire. Now I remember they were scrapping for that ball. They were playing hard. They were fighting hard. The defense, it was going to be a turnover for us, and the ball rolled in front of this girl. One of the girls that didn't have a desire, and knew what she did? The ball was right between her feet. She looked down at it, and she stepped back. And I'm on the bench saying, "Grab the ball!" And Nicole's on the bench saying, "Settle down, honey. Settle down, honey." You know, and so when it came back over, she found her spot on the bench as soon as there was a dead ball, and Nicole was consoling her the whole time. But anyway, she didn't have the desire. So if she didn't have the desire, the ball was right in front of her. It was there for hers to take, but she didn't have the desire. So the other team got the ball back. You know what? But so you can be committed. You can believe that this is your year. You can be ready to face the opposition. But if you don't have the desire and the drive to go after it, then you're going to find yourself looking at the ball, doing nothing about it, and regretting later that you didn't do something about it. How How many of you say, we gotta have desire? We gotta have desire. And so I failed as a coach on imparting desire. But praise God with church folks. Praise God with you. It's not my job to impart the desire. It's the Holy Spirit's job. But praise God, if you don't have that desire, the Bible, you know, we can pray, we can stir ourselves up, and you can ask God to give you the desire you need. The Bible says that if you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. You can interpret that two ways if you want to, but I've always interpreted that God will give me the desires, that my desires, God desires to implant His will, His desires into your heart and make His desires your desires, to make what burdens Him be the thing that burdens you. How many of y'all want to be at that place with the Lord? God can give you desire. God can give you desire. If you've got the other things in line and you don't have the desire, pray and ask God to give you that desire. Because I believe God wants each and every one of us to get to the point that, I think it was Jeremiah, he said, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. And even though you tell me to be quiet about it, even though you tell me to settle down about it, even though you tell me not to get radical about it, I just can't help it. I just can't help it. It's like a fire shut up in my bones, and it's got to come out. I believe God wants to give us all that desire. That desire, that burning desire to go after the things that God's got for us. Amen? How many of y'all say, I want the ball? If you want the ball, then God's going to throw the ball your way. Amen? Is God's going to throw the ball. But that's what we're talking about. Being in the position to receive. All right? And even if you're in the right spot, though, you got to have the desire. So I'm going to read some scriptures real quick about desire. Psalm 73:25. And most of these are New King James Version. Joe, if you want to try to keep up. First, I'm going to read this quote. The same guy I've been reading the quotes from, Vince Lombardi, winning coach of Super Bowl #1, said, the difference between a successful person and others is not a lack of strength, not a lack of knowledge, but rather a lack of will. How many of y'all know, man, if you've got the desire, if you believe, you're committed, you're ready to face opposition, if you got the desire, it doesn't matter how big you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been in this thing. Brother Maurice, you've been in this thing for a while. Now, you look at Brother Maurice and you think of somebody now. He's got it. He's got the way it's going to be. But it doesn't matter how long you've been in this thing, right? If you got the thing, I don't care if you're a baby Christian or if you're a mature Christian. It doesn't matter. If you believe and you're committed and you've got the desire, then God wants to use you. God wants to put the ball in your hands. God says, you're my man and you're my woman. Amen? You got to have that desire, and He can take you there. So it doesn't matter how long you've been in this. I'm talking to everybody in this room. I don't care how you see yourself. I want you to know tonight, this is what I'm trying to get a point now. I don't care how you see yourself. God sees you as somebody He can use. Amen? God sees you as somebody that can take the ball down the field for His kingdom. Amen? God sees you that way. And I want you to know that tonight. I want you to know that tonight. This is what in my notes, but I just believe the Holy Spirit centered in you. Somebody here tonight needs to know, it doesn't matter how you see yourself, God sees you as valuable. God sees you as valuable. God sees you as usable. God sees you as His man or His woman. Amen? Praise God. So Psalm 73:25 says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth I desire but you. How many of y'all know many things compete for our time and our attention? There's many things that would try to draw us off track or keep us from really, really pursuing and going after the things that God has for us. But there is nothing more valuable than pursuing God's will for your life. There is nothing more valuable than going after the thing that God has put on your heart to go after. The ministry, the calling on your life, the people that God's put on your heart. Whenever God's put on your heart, whatever it is, whatever strides that you see this year that you need to make, go after it with all your heart. We've got to get to this point where it says nothing, and there's none on the earth I desire besides you. He's got to be first and foremost. Amen? We've got to get to a place where we desire that above anything else. Amen? Psalm 63:1 says, "Oh God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." I tell you what, we've got to get to the place where the only thing that satisfies us, the only thing that will satisfy our thirst, the only thing that will satisfy our hunger, is doing God's will. I love it in the Bible, where Jesus sent his disciples to go get food, and then the woman at the well came, and he ministered to her, and he touched her life, he changed her life, and then his disciples came back, and they had food, and he said he wasn't hungry, and he said, "I've eaten food that you know not of." I tell you what, we've got to get to the place where doing God's will and pursuing what God has for us satisfies us, and it's the only thing that can satisfy us. Amen? Seek after those things. Seek after Him above all else. John 6:27. And this is really, we're getting into the things that I really wanted to speak tonight. "Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on Him the Father God has set His seal." Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life. I tell you what, there are things that have eternal value, and there are things that waste away. There are things that won't matter 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 2 days from now, 10 minutes from now sometimes. There are things that don't matter, but then there are things that have eternal value. I tell you what, we've got to get to a place where we can recognize those things for our eternal value and discard the things that have no value, because the enemy would love to fill our life with trivial garbage that does nothing for us eternally. And we need to learn to get to a place where we recognize that for what it is. We recognize the sidetracks and the distractions for what they are and focus on the things that have eternal value. Amen? Because I tell you, we can get caught up in all kinds of strife and get caught up in all kinds of bad behavior and bad talking and bad stabbing, and we can get caught up in all kinds of material things that seem valuable to a lot of people that are worth nothing when it comes to the kingdom of God. That have no value when it comes to the kingdom of God. But there are things that have eternal value. I tell you what, Brother Jerry talked a little bit about it today in our usher greeter meeting, that, you know, love, showing love one to another. We've got to get past all the nonsense, and we've got to learn how to walk in love one to another. Amen? There's some things that we have to learn to focus on and get in place in our life that have eternal value, that help us move beyond the trivial stuff. They have eternal value. Relationships. Those things, those divine appointments that God has for you. I'll tell you what, the enemy can sidetrack us so easy from those divine appointments and those divine assignments by trivial stuff. It's just unbelievable. I believe when we get to heaven and we see clearly what all the enemy tried to do against our life and all what all God has for his life, I think we're going to be floored at the opportunities that God's given us to build eternal value, and we simply bypassed it because we were caught up in something trivial. Amen? We've got to learn to see those things that have eternal value and seek after those things. To seek after those things. I tell you what, the example that you are to somebody else when you walk the way God calls you to walk are things that will build eternal value that you won't know until you get to heaven. Amen? The time that you invest, and I know a lot of you sitting in this room tonight, you invest your time in ministry, and you invest your time in working and doing stuff for the kingdom of God and for the church. And I'll tell you what, you don't know the value of the things that you're building when you do that. When you sacrifice your time and your service. And I'll tell you what, going into Easter, you know, needing volunteers and all that kind of stuff, you know, it doesn't seem that big a deal, you know, to give one Sunday to not worry about, am I sitting in service, getting fed? Or instead, you decide, I'm going to make myself available to make sure others get fed. I tell you what, it's just one Sunday. It's just one Sunday, but I can't tell you the eternal value that you will build by giving yourself to those types of things. I tell you what, God wants to use each and every one of you. Each and every one of you have already been marked and identified as God's person on the ground, God's hand, God's feet, God's mouth. We just got to learn how to invest in those things that have eternal value and let the other stuff fall to the wayside. Amen? Amen? 1 Corinthians 12:31 says, "But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I'll show you a more excellent way." I tell you what, we've got to get our minds off of the things of the natural, and we've got to get our minds on the things of the Spirit. I tell you what, there's been a, and Lord willing, we're going to this in the next few weeks on Sunday night, talking about, and Pastor Jerry's been starting it already in Camden and wants to start it here, but talking about the spiritual side, the spiritual gifts and spiritual callings and spiritual things that are supposed to be commonplace in our church and in our life. I tell you what, we've got to get our mindset changed. We've got to start desiring the things of the Spirit and preparing our hearts so that we can move and operate in the things of the Spirit for Him to be able to start working. But I know what, this year is the year that God's gonna do it. God's gonna work in our lives. God's gonna do some things supernaturally in your life and in this church. God wants to make this a year where you begin to walk in the supernatural. Amen? Amen? Those things that have not been possible through your efforts and through the things that you tried, this year, God says, I'm going to bring them to pass because supernatural events are about to happen in your life. Amen? I'm ready for it. But I know God's got to move a lot of me out of the way to bring a lot of Him in. Paul said, I must decrease so that you can increase. I tell you, I'll be the first one to the altar tonight to say, I need to decrease so that God can increase. But I praise God that He's beginning to help me to think and desire and think and yearn for those spiritual gifts. Amen? Those spiritual gifts. I tell you what, you may sound kooky to your neighbor or to your friend at work who doesn't understand the spiritual side of things. But I tell you what, when they see supernatural events start happening in your life, they're going to come back and say, hey, how is this happening in your life? How is God blessing you when it seems like everybody else is on the downswing? How is God working and moving? How do you maintain in that attitude of joy when you're walking through such things? How are you doing this? And your answer will be them. It's not me, but it's Christ Jesus inside of me. It's the Holy Spirit of God inside of me. And I tell you what, God's going to begin to move in a supernatural way. But here's the thing. The point I really wanted to share tonight is this, in Luke 9:23, it says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow after me. I told you at the beginning, desire, we can say we want things all we want. We can say we want this God, we want this thing, we can say we want to live in God's will. We can say we want to follow the Holy Spirit all we want. But I tell you what it said, if anyone desires, if anyone, everybody say, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. I tell you what, there's something in this that a lot of us don't get, and I'm in the same place you are. But in order to be, you can be in the right spot. You can be in the right spot at the right time. But how many of y'all tell you, just like the video showed, all the baggage. And this is what I really feel like the Lord was zeroing in tonight, is that some of us have things we just need to let go of. Because I tell you what, if a receiver goes out for a pass, where's my receivers tonight? Where's my guys that have been working for me? Okay, there's one of them, James. James, and James in here. But I don't want to embarrass James. He's turning red. Don't look at James. He's turning red right now. But anyway, how many of y'all know if a receiver goes out for a pass, man, he could be in the wide open, clear. But how many of y'all know, what do you think is going to happen if he goes to catch that ball but his hands are already full? You give a receiver two or three balls and say, go out for a pass, what are the chances he's going to catch the real ball that's going to get him down the field? I tell you what, God wants to place some things in our hands this year. God wants to empower us this year, but some of us are walking around, running the route with our hands already full. Some of us are running the route. We've even juked the opposition. Juke, that's a sports term. That means I could demonstrate it with excellence tonight, but instead I'm just going to explain it to you. It's just to fake out the opponent. We can get loose. We can shake off the opponent. We can give them a stiff arm or whatever. But when we make the play and the ball's coming our way, if we've already got too much stuff in our hands, we'll never take hold of the things that God wants to deliver to us. Amen? And the word of the Lord, I think, tonight is that we've got to learn how to let go of those things that are holding us back. Let go of those things that are nagging on us that have no eternal value, and make ourselves open and available to receive what God has for us. And I'm going to tell you what, leading up to this service tonight, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to tell you. I think the devil knew what I was focusing in on, what the Lord was trying to focus on before I knew. But I'll tell you, all day I have fought this thing. All day I have fought things that I need to let go of. All day we've struggled with this. My wife has had to let go of some things all day because I was a horrible husband and didn't talk to her about some things that were going on today. She found out about some things last minute today. And so she's had to let go of some things that I did today. But I'm going to tell you what. I tell you what. The devil is aggressive. The opposition is aggressive. He's going to keep handing you things as long as your hand is out there. He's going to hand you everything he can to keep you from being able to catch and take hold of what God has for you. But I'm telling you tonight, we can make a decision tonight that I'm letting go of all those things. I tell you what, I just believe the Holy Spirit wants to reveal some things to us tonight. Man, he's been revealing things to me all day that I need to let go of and to move on and not let things sidetrack me from my true calling, not let things sidetrack me from being used by the Holy Spirit. But I just believe there's an anointing here tonight for the Holy Spirit to pinpoint things in our life and to give us the strength to let go. So how many times, it's easier said than done. You don't think it would take strength to let go of some things, do you? I mean, it should be the easiest thing in the world, right? Everybody go like this. That's pretty easy, right? But stuff seems to stick. Sometimes we gotta learn how to shake things off. Amen. Sometimes we gotta learn how to shake things off. Sometimes we gotta get aggressive and shaking things off in our life. You know what? Because the enemy, as the Bible refers to him, as a serpent. And I'll tell you what. If a serpent is wrapped around your hand or latched onto your hand, how many of y'all think in the natural, if that happened, how many of y'all would have any trouble shaking? I bet we could see some of you do some moves that we, you know, if a snake latched onto you, that we would be shocked. I bet Maurice could get down across this whole stage shaking off a snake. I mean, no, I could too. And I won't call any more names. I just know he's okay. I can pick on him. He won't get mad. But anyway. But I tell you what. But the Holy Spirit, I think tonight, wants to come to us and pinpoint and spotlight some things. And I tell you what. I pray that when the Holy Spirit lets us know some things in our life that need to be shaken off, I hope we react like we would if a snake had latched on. Because I tell you what. It's more important to shake off those things so that we can be available to take hold of what God has for us than anything else in the world. And so I believe tonight, I mean, we have 5 minutes left, and I'm going to spend the rest of the time in the altar, because I just believe, and I'll be right here, man. I'm the first one responding to the altar call, right here. Alright? I'll beat you all to it. But if you know, I'll tell you what, Joe's going to start some music. He didn't know it, but he's going to start some music. And what we're going to do, I just want to give you time. And I'll just go ahead and dismiss service. When the music starts, you're dismissed. But if you will, if the Holy Spirit is zeroing some things in on your heart, and you don't got to tell me what they are. You don't got to tell anybody up here what they are. This is between you and the Holy Spirit. But I just want us to give us just a few minutes to let the Holy Spirit pinpoint some things in our life. And I believe that He will. If we ask Him, He will highlight some things. Now, how many of you are okay? Sometimes we want to ask some things, but we really don't want the answer, right? But only do this if you're okay with and trust the Holy Spirit, and we'll respond. Because I tell you what, once God lets you know about something, it's so important that we respond to it. So I just want to give us a few minutes. Joe's going to start some music, and I just want us to pray. Ask the Holy Spirit, is there anything in my life that is keeping me from being able to receive what you have for me? And I tell you what, and if the Holy Spirit pinpoints on your life, I want you to just come to this altar, and I want you just to symbolically, I want you to just lay it at the altar. I want you to symbolically lay it at the altar. And then once you lay it at the altar, I just want you to see this spiritually. I want you to see yourself placing it before the feet of Jesus. And I want you just to step back, let go of it, and declare that from now on, this is not my portion. From now on, God, I give that to you. I lay it at your feet. I shake it off because I want to be free, God, to receive all that you have for me. I want to be free to receive all that you want to pour into me. I want to be an empty vessel, Lord God, that you can fill. empty me out, God, and fill me up with your Holy Spirit. Fill me up. Whatever it is that you're laying down, God has the counterpart to that. If you're laying down fear, God has trust and faith in Him. If you're laying down addiction, if you're laying down strife, God has peace for your family. If you're laying down addiction and bondage, God has freedom for you. God has deliverance. No matter what it is that you're laying down, I don't know what it is. I'm not going to ask you what it is. But when your heart, when you determine what it is you're laying down, here's the second part of that. I want you to find out what God wants to put in its place. Because the Holy Spirit wants to fill you with His goodness and His gifts. And I tell you what, the Bible says if a house is swept clean and then left empty and there's nothing else that filled it back up, that then when the enemy comes back by, if the house is still empty, he can inhabit it and it'll be 7 times worse when he comes back in. I don't want anybody to lay something down, to empty something out and not receive something back. Because the Holy Spirit wants to fill you with whatever it is He takes out of you. God wants to fill that void. God wants to fill that void. So as you come tonight, as you pray, boy, I just want you to just pinpoint that thing. I want you to come lay it at the altar, but I don't want you to leave the altar empty-handed. I want you to receive everything that God has for you as you leave this altar. And so here's what I was feeling pressed to do. As you lay it, after you leave this altar, I'm going to stand back here off the altar. And I just want to, as you come back, come right through here. And Nicole, if you'll come too. I just feel like we're just going to lay hands on you as you walk back. And we're just going to declare that God's Spirit is filling with you everything that you need. That God's Spirit is filling that void with exactly what He wants in you. Amen. So let's just do that for a few minutes. Joe, start the music. You're dismissed if you want to go. I just encourage you, if you want to, if you feel like there's something you need to lay at the altar, lay it down. And then we just want to lay your hands. We're not anything, but I just believe that I am God's hand extended, that God works and moves through us. And the power of the Holy Spirit is going to do the work. Not me and not my wife. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. So Joe, start the music. You're dismissed. Just come do as you feel the Lord leads.